Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, my name is Mike, and today's show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. It's quite simply the best way to support this show. If you need it, Amazon has it, and you can get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Bookmark it, please.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar, it's a big Monday in the city.
Yes.
We've got a guest in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
But one thing we must address first. Last night, he started it up again. Larry King, his 2 cents. Larry is tweeting again. And I thought it'd be nice if he came by. He's actually in Los Angeles, but he flew in. So if we could open the door.
What a get. I'll get it.
I can't get in.
What's the matter, Larry? Open the door.
I can't get
open it. You twist, you push.
You don't have a security door.
There you go. Oh,
thank God.
Ladies and gentlemen, used to be on TV. Here's Larry King.
Hi. Hi, it's Larry King.
Hi, Larry.
Am I supposed to read the prepared text?
Yeah, you should, because these are your tweets, right? Your 2 cents.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, boy.
How you been?
I'm not as, huh?
How you been?
I got aches and pains.
Really?
Yeah, lots of them.
You need to.
I got aches and pains. I'm not doing well, but do you want me to read your text?
Please do. Please do.
Happy belated birthday to Michael Imar Dinen.
That's not how you say it. Try it again.
Happy belated birthday to Michael Immortal.
No.
Immortal.
Happy belated birthday to Michael Imordino.
Better.
Michael Imordino from his big brother John. John's going to give him an annual subscription to the bonus shows.
Thanks, Larry.
The best gift that anyone could ever give.
That's
it's
beautiful.
It's my 2 cents.
That's your 2 cents. Oh.
I wrote some of my my 2 cents down here.
So you have random thoughts.
Well, people like my random thoughts. And since I went to on the Twitter, the Twitter people really get turned on my random thoughts.
They're tweets, but they're on Twitter.
You got my tweeter button there, boy?
Yeah, you want to give it a test thump?
Sure, here we go. Let me take my bone. There it is, my bony finger. My bony finger, and let's go.
Okay.
Away we go.
Your
hit
2 cents.
The button. Okay. Hit the button first.
You're hitting the button.
You know, for all you junior broadcasters out there.
Yeah.
Comedy is more fun when somebody else writes it and you get to deliver it. Because it's like you're getting jokes for yourself, too.
It's a treat.
Hit the button again, please.
You're hitting the button.
Any vitamin.
What?
Damn it, I'm sorry. Any vitamin is chewable if you don't mind the flavor. Tell the Dutch people that paying for my own meal is not a treat. The White House correspondent's dinner always had the worst bread.
Walden, did you ever go to the dinner?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
You know, the bread?
Dry, flavorless.
No butter?
Bad bread.
Sorry to hear it.
Hit the button again. Okay. If whoa.
Whoa!
If memory serves, Michael Dukakis was an excellent president.
Not sure he was ever president.
Sometimes I hide an olive in my boxer shorts. I like knowing the secret. My rings keep falling off.
What? Why?
Of all the slaws, Cole is my favorite.
Oh, coleslaw. That's a good one.
Sudoku frightens me.
Oh, you don't like number play.
Everyone seemed to like American Sniper, but I didn't laugh once.
It's not a comedy, Larry.
Adam Sandler as the Secretary General at the United Nations. It will happen.
I think so.
I never buy a newspaper unless it has hints from Heloise and ads for massages.
That's how you determine a good paper?
The best... don't talk to me during my tweets.
Oh, these are your tweets.
This is not back and forth.
Okay.
I'm just reading them.
Okay.
You wrote it. I'll read it.
Okay, Larry.
Hit it again.
Oh, okay.
The best car I ever owned was a Panasonic. It seems like no one gets the plague anymore. I like the porno movies where the girl sits on cakes. My doctor is treating my halitosis with a medically induced coma. Say what you will about Vladimir Putin. He never made a bad movie. I swear I don't know anything about the dead hooker.
What?
Another daytime Emmy Awards, yet no trophy for Alan Ludden. I cry bullshit. One time I ate a house cat. Whatever happened to Bruce Jenner?
Now, come on, Larry.
How dare you?
Hey, Steve Hawking, enough already. Talk like a grown-up. Ever since Zayn left on One Direction, I can't make love to completion. Corned beef makes a delicious sandwich but a lousy bracelet. Jack Palance had the greatest ass in Hollywood. I like to shampoo my bad place. Bedtime is my favorite time of day, except for one thing.
One thing? What?
When my wife closes the lid.
Oh,
stop
no.
the show, you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
The nonstop focus on billionaire donors creates real problems for our democracy.
And that's why we're running for a third term.
No, we're not.
We're not?
No.
Who the hell said that?
But we do need to stay focused on some big challenges, like climate change.
Hey, listen, y'all, if you haven't noticed, California is bone dry. It looked like a trailer for the new Mad Max movie up in there. Y'all think that Bradley Cooper came here because he wants to talk to Chuck Todd? He needed a glass of water. Come on.
The science is clear. 9 out of the 10 hottest years ever came in the last decade.
Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know how to count to 10.
Rising seas, more violent storms.
You got mosquitoes, sweaty people on the train stinking it up. It's just nasty.
I mean, every serious scientist says we need to act. The Pentagon says it's a national security risk. Miami floods on a sunny day, and instead of doing anything about it, we've got elected officials throwing snowballs in the Senate.
Okay, Mr. I think I got it, bro.
It is crazy. What about our kids?
Okay,
what kind of stupid, short-sighted, irresponsible bull?
Whoa! Hey!
What?
Okay, no, hey.
What?
All due respect, sir, you don't need an anger translator. You need counseling.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, guess what? You do too.
Ah.
Our show today is brought to you by a brand new sponsor. We want to welcome Next Issue to the program.
Hello.
Next Issue is an app that is truly a game changer. We love Next Issue. It's you're going to love it too. It's really the future. It's the future, baby. It's like Netflix for magazines. Do you love technology? I love technology. I love love technology. Look no further. The future of magazines is here. It's called Next Issue. It's available for iPads, iPhones, Android tablets, smartphones, and one account can be shared, so it's great for the entire family. They have all your favorite magazine titles with unlimited and instant access. Forget the mess and hassle of numerous old-school magazine subscriptions. I was talking to my wife about this, and one of the things she hates more than anything else is the clutter, because we are magazine junkies. Well, not anymore with Next Issue, because they have all the issues, the latest ones, and even the back issues. For the price of a couple of magazines at a newsstand, you can have everything you see on the newsstand with no limits. I'm talking Vanity Fair, People, Us Weekly, Rolling Stone, Entertainment Weekly. It goes on and it's really, really a fantastic modern way to do it. Put it on your iPad. You'll love it. Next Issue is the new newsstand. It's also a great way to explore new titles and your favorite topics with instant searches, plus digital extras you won't find anywhere else. Try a 30-day free trial with no commitment. Here's what I want you to do. It gets even better. Go to nextissue.com/TMOS. Sign up today for your first month and get free. You get your first month free and 50% off Next Issue's most popular premium plan for the next 2 months. This is a great deal, but it's only available in the U.S. by going to nextissue.com/TMOS and signing up today. That's nextissue.com/TMOS and get them all. I mean, for the price of a couple of magazines,
amazing.
You get all of them, and it's the modern way to do it. You won't have the clutter. That's my way.
For the first time ever this weekend, Carrie used an iPad because she wanted to read Real Simple Magazine.
Well, tell her welcome to 2015, and I'm glad Next Issue got her to do that.
Mike, we're not speaking, but
let's welcome our guest. This is very exciting for the show, and it's like a trip back down memory lane from someone that I used to have brief conversations with once or twice a month. Here we go. Kevin BDK McCarthy is a film critic. This is right off the wiki for the nationally. He's the Kevin is the BDK McCarthy of film critics.
Exactly.
I'll read it the right way.
Please.
Kevin McCarthy is a film critic nationally for Fox News. Right there, all of us who knew him immediately go, man, the guy has really arrived. I mean, he has paid his dues, and his enthusiasm for movies
passion.
that I've known about ever since I've known him. I mean, I know the junkies put him on and said, we want to have a movie reviewer, and I guess Kevin raised his hand 20 years ago and said, I like movies. I said, all right, put him on.
We did that a lot at WJFK. People raised their hands. Well, that's how
here's the thing.
True.
So he's on Fox News. He's locally on Washington, D.C.'s Fox 5, WTGG-TV, and he's also on CBS Radio with the Junkies. He graduated from George Mason University in the spring of 2006. Seems like it was only yesterday to me.
Yeah.
And
right?
He majored in communications with a concentration on media production and criticism.
Wow.
And he's BDK. He's our old friend. And he's made it onto the TV all the time. Let's give a round of applause to Kevin McCarthy.
I'm really, really Kevin impressed McCarthy, with that bio.
You're a regular. I gave you a regular intro.
I know, but the media criticism thing, where did you pull that from?
It was right off the internet. Rob got it, right?
I believe it's at nerdtears.com.
Oh.
If you click about Kevin.
Oh, okay.
It comes right up.
First of all, before we get to Kevin, Rob?
Yes.
How painful was it for you with walking pneumonia over the weekend to have to go and print out a bio that you knew that I was going to read like this to a man that you never gave the proper amount of respect for, and now he's really eclipsed you in every way possible?
No.
That stops today, Mike. and I'm not talking about
you ready
the
to bury the hatchet? He's
Absolutely.
Never said anything. He's never done anything or said anything mean about you, but yet you've been snarky to him, snarkier than almost anybody that we ever worked with at WJ.
And I think it's time for that to stop. I mean, you know what? I think that I cheated death this weekend, and it allowed me to see. When I saw the light, I said, I'm not going to walk into the light. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be
friends
with
How is your walking pneumonia, by the way?
It's updated to a slight jog. I'm fine. The chest pain has stopped, which is great.
That's good.
Because I always think, it's the heart attack.
The big one.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was, but I went to the doctor after Friday's show, and I told you this. I said, I could have done that doctor's appointment. I knew my diagnosis, and I knew what medicine he was going to give me. And so I came home, and I went on the antibiotics, and I slept this weekend.
Aww.
And while I sound worse, I feel better.
You're getting there.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, well, it's like that speed bump. You're at the top of it. I feel
right on, right on. Yeah,
for background, Kevin, were you an intern when you first started it? This is when I tell kids that want to get into radio or do anything. I said, everybody I work with was an intern, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of our interns have gone on to
huge things. I think of Greg Garcia, who went on to become a very successful television producer out in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I think of John Brinkus, who you see as his own television program today, and was a TV production guy. These guys back in the days of WAVA. You, Rob Spiewak, went on to be on the radio regularly. You were an intern.
Well, you see,
Oscar Santana was an intern.
Oh, you've got your Greg Garcias up here, and then in the mid-range you've got me, and then at the bottom you have Andy Rice. And they're just everywhere in between.
Does anybody know what Andy Rice is doing now? Does anybody have any idea what he's doing?
No, but I hope he's well. As you do.
You know, there is someone you picked on more than Kevin. You picked on that. But Kevin wasn't associated with our show. He's always associated with the Junkies.
He would come by, though. He would come by occasionally.
Yeah,
incidentally, that sobbing sound you heard over the weekend is when I read that the Junkies signed a brand new 4-year deal with WGFJFK. I would like to applaud them for doing that. Congratulations to all my good friends over there.
Nice.
They've been very nice to me. They've let me promote whatever I want to promote. But at the same time, when I hear that news that they are now, I think, passing the years that we have worked at WJFK, that Don and I worked and that I did, I just sit there and I go, why?
Gotta let it go, Mike.
I know, but I can't, Oscar. I'm not like you. I don't have that chip. I don't have that computer chip. I was depressed about that for about 2 days. Not that I don't want them to be successful.
No.
But just that I think about, you know, what could I have done different, you know? Read the sports page more? I mean, really. I mean, what the hell? I don't know. Or perhaps just said, gone to management and said, yeah, I'll work for a lot less.
Oh.
But I didn't choose to do that.
Well, you should have started by reading the sports page, because I think that was probably more likely than the other thing.
But you know what? We got good friends over there at WJFK.
We do.
And they keep on keeping on. And BDK is part of it. And now on Fox 5. Kevin, it started with what? I didn't realize until I read your bio that you had the degree. So you had film criticism, you had some courses in film criticism,
right?
But was this, when you got started, was this in your head that this is what I want to do? Because it happened very quick for you.
I always wanted to be a director. That was the ultimate goal, was to be a cinematographer for a director. And you mentioned being an intern. I used to purposely position myself at the copier with French fries when Eric Bickle would walk by from the Junkies to specifically say, I do movie reviews. Like, hey, I'm here. I'd love to come on your show sometime. Because they had some guy on the show who was doing movie reviews, but I didn't think he was that great. So I was hoping that I could maybe work my way on there. And thankfully, they did. They made fun of me for the entire segment, but it turned into they basically changed my entire life.
But you
life.
Forged ahead. You got past all of that.
Yeah.
The hardest part about this, Mike, and I was fortunate enough to see really BDK's rise firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got back from Phoenix, Chad and I did, it was even more prominent. But I'll say that when you're an intern and you're, whether you're radio or TV, in the entertainment business, people will do all kinds of things to get noticed. Most of them are slimy and fail. But if you're genuine and you actually have some sort of passion for it, people will see that, especially guys that are on the other side of the mic, right?
Yes.
And you have elephant skin, too, if you have elephant skin. Because BDK sat and took it, not just from the Junkies, but from our
from
show.
Everybody.
He was everybody's punching bag.
Yep.
And Rob, you were a punching bag for a long term. I'm sorry, I'm smelling smoke down here.
It's okay. Do you remember the name Jimmy Pimples?
I swear to God.
Jimmy who? I'm sorry.
Jimmy Pimples.
No, I don't recall that.
That was the name I was going to be called.
I'll be right back, guys. I swear to God, I think my house might be burned.
No, I think you're
maybe
fine.
There's some bacon that's being burnt.
Is he being serious?
Well, yeah, he'll check on it. He'll be back.
Wow. He'll be back.
Now, Jimmy Pimples, the total Michael story of Jimmy
there,
Pimples.
There was a time with when Mike and Don were doing the show together,
right?
And I was gonna be a character called Jimmy Pimples at one point. I can't remember what the deal was.
And never launched.
This was like in 2006.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I had horrible acne at that point.
No, not on you, not on your acne side, but the Don and Mike show would say we're gonna have Jimmy Pimples on.
Yeah.
Mrs. O'Mara's making cabbage. I thought there was.
Is that,
really,
is that code?
I'll never get up. I will never get up from the show. I legitimately thought that there was something on fire in my domicile down here.
Well, you know what? I don't want to talk about anyone's cooking abilities, but when you get smoke from cooking cabbage,
I know. I still think it might be coming out of the equipment. I have no idea. If I see smoke, I'll let you guys know. It's crazy. So getting back to BDK. So let me. I want to ask you some questions about you and your... starting from an intern, going on as really kind of the comic relief, kind of a punching bag for all these shows. When you were doing that, was it ever painful? And when it was, did you say, I probably shouldn't subject myself to this kind of stuff? Did you have a grand plan for the movie critic biz? Or did everything just kind of roll and grow organically? How did it start with you? And the first question is, did you have a grand plan? That's what I want to know.
That's the weird thing is, like, I didn't start getting like full-time paid as the job for this until about 8.5 years into what I was doing. So,
because if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, at the time you did work at the station.
Yeah, I was a sales assistant.
Yeah, you worked under
Jeffrey Hedges.
Jeffrey Hedges, yeah. So I graduated high school or college in 2006, and then I walked right into a job at WJFK working as a sales assistant for, like, you know, absolutely no money.
Right.
And for 8.5 years after that, I basically worked that job, used my vacation days to travel to do the celebrity interviews, and then I would come back. So I would interview some massive A-lister on a Sunday morning, and then I would fly back and go back to being getting sales assistant, getting salads, and cleaning fish bowls the next
morning. And that's take a note. I mean, for all the people that want to get into this, if you want to get into this business, it's not, I mean,
no,
that's pretty amazing stuff that you, I mean, talk about dues paying before you did what you did. You did that for that amount of time, and it's interesting. I never put together, never really thought about it a lot, how you would go out and get these interviews, but you would, on vacation days is when you would travel out to L.A., and you knew that's where you had to go to get the celebrity interviews.
Yeah.
That's what they were there, where they would do these multiple interviews, right?
Yeah, I did, like, I would take the vacation day, I would travel out, I'd do it. Sometimes I'd come into work early, work late, and to do these things, but you mentioned, like, the painfulness of, like, kind of going in there and subjecting myself to, like, the jokes. That was never really bad for me. I had fun with that. The painful thing was calling my parents every week and asking for money, or asking my friends for money, people who were, you know, just 1,000 times more successful than I was. Wow. I'd have to call my, you know, my dad.
You were
my
financing your own travel.
Yeah, yeah, essentially, because you're basically, you pay for your own cabs and all that kind of stuff. So basically you're dealing with that, and, you know, I had no money whatsoever. I was living
on
ramen
noodles. Would these companies take care of airfare at all?
It depends.
Would our company?
It depends on where, it depends on what it was. Like, it depended on the trip. Like, I don't want to get into minutia about it, but there was just so many different elements that went into it. But yes, I was spending my own money
and this was just
regards.
For the radio, right? This was for the radio. At the beginning, this was just
was
for radio
interviews,
correct?
Yeah. And then Fox 5 hired me because I dressed up like and you mentioned being subjected to jokes. The Junkies made me dress up as a Wizards cheerleader one morning, and they were promoting the new season, so I put on pom-poms and skinny shorts, and I was dancing, and then Tony Perkins rolls by to do a bit, a piece on the Junkies, and he sees me dancing outside. They put me on camera, and I literally just walk outside a couple, an hour later. I say, "Hey, Tony, do you guys need a movie reviewer?" And he said, "Come on by for an audition."
And wear that outfit.
Huge. Yeah,
but the foresight to ask him in the Wizards uniform as a cheerleader.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't find that. And this is a compliment to you, Kevin, because you don't find that type of passion to say that there's a go. And back to the finances just quickly. I know what he's talking about.
I have a
number of friends, and including myself, getting into the radio business. What you do is almost anything to make sure that you create that opportunity, whether it's maxing out your credit cards or asking your parents for loans
or asking
a brother and sister for $1,000 to get you through the next couple months.
I was living on credit cards for 8 years, basically. I just paid off the one that I was living on for the first 7 or 8 years. Just paid it off, literally, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah. Anyway, I know the feeling.
When I started dating my girlfriend.
And you're working for Fox, so we still know you're not ready to buy the house in the hills yet.
No, they're paying they're paying me well. I mean, I'm able to live comfortably now, which is, like,
okay,
so that's
a new thing for you, right? But, I mean, with the radio, that never happened.
Well, because radio, I was never a full-time entertainment reporter. I was always a sales assistant. I'm not saying they're paying me, you know, a ton of money, but they're paying me enough to, like, be able to live now. I mean, I'm able to, like, go
this
home.
This is the Fox people that are paying you.
Yeah, right? I'm able to, like, go home and not have to call my parents for money anymore. Yeah.
When you do all your travel, the company takes care of it.
Yeah, there's different regards to it. Like, there's always different elements. Depends on where I'm going. There's, like, it always depends.
Let me ask you this, because now that you are plugged in with a real television, literally a network, because you do stuff nationally for Fox News.
Right.
Are they, do the people that you interview, the entertainment that side of the business, the people that are promoting the film, do they court you more? Do they sometimes? No, they don't at all. No. You still need to be hungry, right?
Oh my gosh. So well, here's the thing about this business. So basically, when you go out to these junkets, a lot of these big stars like Robert Downey Jr., Angelina Jolie, they have.
Can I interrupt here for a second? Because sure. For those of you that might want to know, what are they talking to this guy about? There are people that might not know Kevin. I will tell you some of his people that he's interviewed: Quentin Tarantino, Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, Gary Oldman, Angelina Jolie, Robert De Niro, Tim Burton, Don Cheadle. Are those all people you've interviewed?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And Kevin James.
Yeah, Kevin James recently.
Kevin James, who got 4%. 4% of critics liked Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Did you review that one publicly yet? Have you done that?
Publicly.
Did you give it a thumbs down? Well, that's good because you don't do that very often, Kevin.
Well, no,
we're going to get to that in a second.
Remind me to tell you the George Clooney story about a bad review movie. I'll tell you that. But in regards to the question you just asked about like these bigger names, yeah, like these people like Angelina Jolie and Robert Downey Jr., they have very specific small interview lists.
Okay.
And over the years, I've met publicists and been able to like get on. Like De Niro was like the hardest list I ever had to get on. And once I got on Robert, it's weird for me to even say these names. I've ever been associated with them in some regard. It's strange to me because I'm a movie fan, but I still freak out about it. I still get nervous. I still stay up all night working on my questions.
That's your anthem. Enough of that. But at a certain point, you're not going to be able to say that anymore.
No, it's 100%
true. The fact is, at a certain point, you're going to have to geek out. Things going to have to go away.
I don't know.
Okay, it's going to have to go away. You have sat down with, you've been with Scorsese, with Spielberg, with Tarantino, with Angelina. Okay, at a certain point, if you've got to go, you know, interview a character actor that nobody knows, you can't say geek out anymore.
The moment I don't get excited about it is the moment I'm going to stop doing it. I know it sounds cliche, but I really am. I mean, I don't travel. I'll go to LA for.
I can hear Rob's brain working right now.
I know. I'm waiting for a zing. I'm waiting for a zing.
Are you going to say something like, please stop soon? No, is that.
I was just going to say, so you really don't need to go back to Channel 5 today.
Yeah, I do. I'm still excited about it.
I was going to say, if that was Mike's credo, he would be done a long time ago.
That's right.
Mike, I disagree. I didn't even
want to come in today.
Yeah, Mike's credo.
Swear to God.
Mike's
credo. I like you and all, but I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like when we had Chuck Todd. I was real excited. Yeah.
Mike's credo is sort of the opposite. Mike's credo is maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. That's the way I do it. We'll continue to talk with Kevin. We're going to take a break, come right back, and then we'll really get into talking about movies because, you know, we're in that late spring, early summer kind of thing.
Avengers.
And yuck.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I hate it. Anyway, you know, because I think movies suck nowadays. But I'll take a break and we'll talk to Kevin in just a second.
Hi, this is the Internet's Steve Mermelstein. Perhaps you know me from The Americast, where Marcus Serta serves as my sidekick. But I'm here to tell you about another podcast, Cake and Cookies. Cake and Cookies has Rob Spiewak and Katie Von Herman, and I never miss an episode. It's an important part of my well-balanced podcast listening diet. Besides, I love Katie, and Rob loves me. It's a strange love triangle, but you can truly feel the magic in the air. Cake and Cookies. Subscribe on iTunes or listen on the TMOS app. Mermelstein out.
Cake and Cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Only took 10 takes.
I think I might like that one better than any. I love that.
I'm Steve Burns.
That's right. It was a good one, too.
Love it.
Welcome back to the show. Don't be a fool this April. Stop getting tricked by the big-name razor companies. You don't need to pay an arm and a leg. All you need is Harry's. I've been telling you about Harry's for a very long time. It's the only way to shave. It's the most cost-effective, and they have the best razors that they make at their own factory in Germany. But I will tell you, when I went up to Boston this past weekend, and I had my wife's razor because I forgot my Harry's, it was the most incredible exercise in pain I have ever gone through, and now I'm an even bigger supporter of Harry's. Do you know that the average shaver spends $300 a year on blades?
True.
Why not cut that in half with Harry's? Try it, and you'll be a Harry's guy for life with extra dough in your pocket as well. You can get $5 off your first purchase with our code TMOS. That means the starter set is only $10. You get the razor,
blades?
Three blades, a bottle of shaving cream, all sent straight to your door with no middleman and free shipping. And as always, your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed or your money back. Go to Harry's.com right now. Enter the code TMOS at checkout for $5 off your first order of a starter set. That's right, with the code TMOS, you will get a month's worth of shaving for just $10, baby. That's Harry's.com and the TMOS code at checkout, and change the way you shave forever. We are with Fox 5's Kevin McCarthy, and Kevin has been on Channel 5 for a good long time. He's been with the Junkies on radio in Washington, D.C., and you can also see him on Fox on the network. Now, where are you network-wise on Fox? Where can everybody that's listening to me right now see you?
Well, thank you for having me on the show, by the way. It's an honor to be here. Fox and Friends is the name of the morning show that I work for.
Oh, the Ducey Show.
With Elizabeth and Steve Ducey and Brian Kilmeade. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you in line politically with the Fox network?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
That's why they have me on the show. I the thing is, I never talk
You're
politics.
A right winger? You're a right wing well, no, whack I, job? Is that what
I,
you
I,
are?
I know. I've never talked about my politics ever. I'm always okay. just a movie guy.
It's so his personal policy not
they,
to do that.
If they ever talk to me about politics, I just strictly go for movies. I don't ever talk politics on the network. I'm just a movie guy who loves movies, and I just geek
Mike,
out
he's
movies.
On national TV.
I feel like Steve Ducey, and Steve Ducey's been
he's
on the
awesome.
Show. Steve Ducey's been on the show at all. He was a feature reporter for Channel 4, mm-hmm. probably before you when you were a little baby. You
oh, before he was born,
that.
I bet.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him on Channel 4.
He was on Channel 4, and then he went to Fox, and, you know, he's
Let's stick to that, the fact that Kevin's on a national TV show.
Yeah. That's the important thing. And you're on a part that doesn't have anything to do with the politics, so that's fine.
I won't get into my whole movies.
No, look, it's just they're on that show, and the fact is that you're on national TV. From these humble beginnings, you get on and you do that, and thank you to Oscar for getting me back on track, because it's Monday and I could go in 25 different directions.
Okay.
But you do this so people can watch on the Fox News Channel. Yeah. They can see Kevin. How often are you on Fox
every Friday and Sunday?
So you're regular. Friday,
7:20 on Fridays usually.
Do you do them live or do you tape them
live? I do it live from WTTG, or I go to the studios, and Steve did work here for years, and he's
in
awesome,
DC in the DC market.
So you go to New York to their studios
sometimes, depending on the week.
I've seen you on the set.
Yeah, depending
that
on the week.
That is cool. That is awesome.
Pretty amazing.
Does Elizabeth Hasselbeck smell nice?
You know what? That's a question I get from everybody every time I sit
wait,
down.
Wait, hold on. I thought that was pretty unique. You get that from everybody. Does she smell
not,
good?
Not about Elizabeth specifically, but about any actress or celebrity that I meet. They
How
always
they
ask
smell?
Me what they smell like. I never smell them. Is that
really?
Weird?
Well,
no, I think that's one of the reasons that you're able to stay on De Niro's list.
Right.
Because you don't go in smelling it.
You know, I sat down with anybody, like Angelina Jolie. Everyone's like, what does she smell like?
Do you hug her or shake her hand after the interview?
I've hugged her, I think, before.
If I was interviewing Angelina Jolie and I happened to be lucky enough to get a hug, I would go.
Oh no!
I've never smelled her. No, I've never
done
that.
When you hug an Angelina Jolie, who lets go first?
Oh, I'm sure she does. It depends. Like sometimes, like the other day, I was in a hallway for interviewing the cast of Avengers, and Thor, Chris Hemsworth, saw me in the hallway and literally came
good?
Up to me and gave. He smelled pretty good, actually. Yeah,
he smells.
He gave me a big hug. Well, he gave me a massive bear hug. I was like, I had no other way than my nose smelled whatever it was. Yeah.
How about De Niro? Did De Niro smell good?
I don't think I've ever hugged De Niro.
Bob.
there's a quick story that, Kevin, I've heard you...
I'm sorry.
I've heard you tell briefly that I think Mike and Rob, you'll love.
What's
is
that?
Where...
Do that again.
No, just hold on. I want you, as best you can, and now listen, because I know you don't really, you feel a little weird about dropping names, but I want you, from memory right now, just see how many names you can throw out of people
that's
that you've
boring.
Interviewed. And no, it's not boring, because I will, the only time you'll hear a certain sound is when I have my little theory. Okay.
Okay.
So start.
And you're a man,
and
Mike, you're a man who's built a career on theories.
Yes, theories. And you know, the fart sound effect is something that's a trademark.
It makes me laugh every single time.
I know. So let's start at the list, and I will just have my finger on the button.
Okay. Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Yeah. This means they smell?
No, I'm just thinking, who would be, you know.
Who would pass
who
gas?
Who would have a chance of maybe doing that?
Let me put it to you this way, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who might benefit from some audio sweetening in the post-production of the interview? And I'm not saying which way or why.
Right.
Just sweetening.
Right. Yeah. So you've interviewed Robert De Niro.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know what? Maybe it's everybody. So
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, no.
Nice. No, not at all.
Mike, here's one. Kevin Smith.
Speaking of interviews, Kevin, can you please tell the story of how you got on to and it's funny because I think he's a great actor, but he just seems like a cool guy. Russell Crowe's list,
yeah.
the first time and how you were able to build that relationship, how you basically bypassed the channels that you usually take to get on a list. This is how tenacious this guy is.
Okay. So it's a similar situation of just asking. And by the way, Russell Crowe, does he get a sound effect, Mike?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the wrong one. It's this one. Gladiator fart.
That's the down under Australian yeah. version of it.
Has Gladiator to do Vegemite, fart, I think. Is a lot of Vegemite, Mike.
Down under. There you go. I'm sorry. I don't know. You know, it's Monday. I'm a little punchy. Was up with the kid all weekend. And I'm
I don't
a little
get
punchy.
To mess with that stuff. On
I know.
Fox.
I know. You've
it's
risen
so
above
funny.
It. Welcome to our world. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. That's good stuff. All right. So tell us about Russell Crowe.
Basically, Russell Crowe, I was just starting to build contacts. I was going to New York to interview Harrison Ford for a movie called Morning Glory. Long story short, I called the studio to get Russell Crowe. I heard he was going to be in the same hotel. They said, no, his schedule's booked. Sorry, we can't give you time with him. So I'm on the train in New York. Russell Crowe tweets out, I just saw Harrison Ford in my hotel. I'm freaking out. I want to get a picture of him. My kids love Indiana Jones. I respond back simply and just say, hey, Mr. Crowe, I'm interviewing Harrison Ford tomorrow. Too bad I couldn't get you. They said your schedule was booked. And I put a sad face. He responds back immediately. Call the studio and tell them I told you to ask one more time, essentially is what he said. I called the studio. I said, Gladiator told me to say this. They said, no, you don't get it. The next morning, sitting down to interview Harrison Ford, I get a call from one of the production people, and they say, Russell Crowe called the studio last night and added you to his list.
Wow. Now, did he do that simply because he admired your tenaciousness, as Oscar mentioned, that he just respected the fact that you were trying hard like that?
I think
paying
said,
attention to his tweets?
He read my timeline is what he told me, because he came in studio a couple weeks ago and he read my timeline and he said he figured I'd be a nice kid. So I go in to interview him, he tells the whole story on camera, and then about a year later, I tweet him again and I say, hey, listen, can I get you for this movie? He goes, no, this time you need to get me on your own, you will succeed, trust me, or whatever he said. 3 or 4 years later, I sit down with him for Noah. I book him on my own for the first time. I walk in the room. He immediately recognizes and remembers what happened with that Twitter conversation. Mm. He says, you've gotten here on your own. Congratulations on your success. And then since then, he's caught up with me on Twitter, asked me how my career is going. And then eventually, he came in studio last week. He told the whole story again on camera. So he's just been a big supporter and helpful person to getting my career started.
Isn't that phenomenal? Jeez.
Very cool.
That is really, really amazing. Let's. I want to, because we only have a few more minutes left with Kevin here. Kevin, you have gotten a hard time over the years. A lot of people have slammed. I think the junkies give you a hard time about
right.
it, that you love everything, you know, that you loved everything. That's been a wrap for. Has that developed over your career as far as doing movie reviews? Do you look at movies a little more harshly than you used to?
Oh,
a little,
no.
more, little more critically, I should say.
Same way. Well, one of the biggest questions I always get is how can you sit down with a massive celebrity and then also critically think about their movie in mm-hmm. a critical way?
That's a good question.
One of the things I've always been able to do is separate the two. So one of the best stories I have about that in regards to was George Clooney for a movie called The Monuments Men, which was absolutely
dreadful.
I thought it was terrible.
And really amazingly terrible.
Great story.
I was so excited about it.
Right.
And I thought this movie, you know, at that point in his career, Clooney was on kind of a can't-miss trajectory.
Yep, right.
He always said he was doing. And it was a piece of dumb.
Think about what
really
he directed.
Horrible.
Good Night and Good Luck was phenomenal. Edward
yep,
R. Murrow.
Absolutely amazing.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind was phenomenal. So I walk out of the screening. I wasn't supposed to get Clooney at all. Now, Clooney, by the way, is the same publicist as Robert De Niro,
okay.
who I had built a relationship with. So mm-hmm. I walk out of the movie after it's over, and I say, oh, it was boring. It was slow. I didn't care for it. And, you know, they write down my notes, whatever. So then I leave. The next morning I get up, I do my interviews. I mean, I'm interviewing everybody from Bill Murray to John Goodman to Matt Damon to Cate Blanchett. I'm freaking out. I walk out of the room. I see the publicist for De Niro. And I said, hey, man, it's good to see you. Is Clooney doing anything today? I've never gotten him before. And I said, he goes, no, you know, he's only doing like certain national outlets. I said, well, I do national TV with Fox and Friends. Mm-hmm. So they said, okay, we'll give you like 2 minutes with him. So I walk down the hallway. I go to my room. I write down my questions for Clooney. Right before I'm about to walk in the room, the publicist pulls me aside and says, just so you know, Clooney knows you don't like his movie. And I'm like, I'm like, what? So I'm like freaking out. First of all, I've never met him before, so I'm already nervous enough. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I'm going to walk into a room and the guy knows. Now, one time I was interviewing Matt Damon, and Damon said to me that I know you don't like my movie if you walk in the room and ask me like a personal question first off, like if you don't mention the movie at all. Uh-huh. So these actors have a general idea of reporters who don't like their movies.
And they're all sensitive flowers, whether right. they tell you they're not, but they've been through it. They know. Right. I mean, it's not like you're the first guy that said something bad. So how did the rest of the date go?
Yeah. So I walk in the room to interview George Clooney, and there's like this mutual understanding that I don't like your film. I didn't like the film. I love your work. I mean, I can bring up Gravity. I love, you know, films like Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, films that he's done. That way you walk in and you mention things that you do like. You don't right. have to be disrespectful to the guy. So we sit down and we have an incredible interview for 4 minutes. We stood up. We got a picture together. I walked out.
He must have been thrilled.
No, he was awesome. Dude, he actually smiled. Like these actors. Like,
no, that's
cool. He was super nice. I walk out of the room. I go home. I air my interview. Then I go on the air and I did not give the film a good review whatsoever. I gave it my exact reaction I gave them when I walked out. And one of the things I learned a long time ago was be honest at the front. Because if you tell them otherwise in the beginning, they're going to find out later on when you give your review mm-hmm. anyways. Yeah.
So right. when you did the interview, the 4-minute interview, yeah. when you had your 4 minutes, were you did you address Monuments Men? Did you talk
yeah.
about
money? Oh, yeah.
So you said right away, I thought it was slow moving. So these guys know when they've got a turkey right away.
What I meant by that was I don't go in there and tell them to it. I don't disrespect them in his face. Yes. I also didn't tell them I love the movie. I just sat down and I said,
You deal with another subject.
Yeah,
right?
I said,
you
Mr.
move
Clooney,
on to other movies.
It's good to see you, by the way. When you direct yourself in a film, do you yell cut in action? Or can you be critical
right.
of your own action?
So you don't have to deal with it head on.
Right.
And it really doesn't matter that he knows that you didn't like the film, right?
Yeah,
and now, had you panned the film publicly before the interview with Clooney?
No. He had apparently had just read my notes. So apparently, since he's a director of the film, I guess he wanted to read people's reactions, so he just read through whatever my reaction was. Slow.
And where did he get that? I'm
when I walked out of the movie after I finished it, I gave it to the publicist, and apparently he requested. This is what I've been told.
He wanted your notes for the movie.
Not me specifically.
Everybody's
all
notes.
The notes.
Every reporter who walked out. This is what I've been told, or what. I only gathered in my mind how else he would have seen my reaction. I think he just read everyone.
I just
want
to stop
notes.
You really quick because I'm curious about the process here. And I think everybody listens to a movie review would be very curious about this. So a publicist can say, can request like notes on the movie? I'm curious how that happens. That's your private stuff, isn't it?
No, when a critic walks out of a movie, there's always a representative at the door.
Right.
And they say, what was your reaction to the film? So that was just me simply just saying the movie was slow. I didn't
so those
care
when
for
we're
it.
Talking about notes, it's not like you're sitting there with with
you're
your iPhone
out a piece of paper
or
saying,
yellow notepad. You're discussing it briefly
yeah,
with a publicist.
Yeah, I mean it's not even more than 15 seconds. It's just me stopping.
That's all I wanted to know because I've never done that. I don't know what that's about.
Question, and this sort of goes back to the Clooney thing. When you are dealing with a star, and a lot of times now with the way that the media is so on top of stuff. If a movie's going to be a clinker, people know in advance it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And they still have to follow through and do the media for it. When they are promoting a movie that's already been panned, essentially, are they more guarded? Is it a harder interview to do? Do you ever go in and find them defensive because they already know that their movie is going to be a problem?
Strangely enough, the movies that are really bad, I get the best interviews out of for some reason. Like, for example, Hangover 2. Was just a train wreck and absolutely awful. Just a remake of the first one, unfunny. And I had to, I sat down with the cast, including Bradley Cooper and Zach Galifianakis and Ed Helms. And I think when I walked in the room, I think they knew it wasn't good. I don't know. I got a vibe
sure.
that they knew the movie was just like, This is just my personal opinion. I don't know this for a fact.
So they overcompensate is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know if they overcompensate.
They might be a little friendlier.
Fun. They have more fun with it, maybe.
Because they see their career flash. Guys, I think they see their career flashing in front of their eyes, and they probably want to be nice. Not going to be a dick because the movie sucked.
I've had a lot of interviews where the interview's funnier than the movie. Because, like, you know, and like, for example, like, there's a movie called Get Hard recently with Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart, which I didn't think that was that funny, but I walked in the room and I felt like their chemistry in the room was better than it was on camera.
I bet it was. Absolutely.
It was interesting. Yeah. But it all depends on, you know, what their mood is that day. I mean, a lot of these actors, it all depends on, you know, they're like us, that they have, like, problems in their daily lives, and if they bring them to the interview. But I will say 99.9% of my experiences doing these interviews, everyone's been super nice. The only problem I ever had was Tommy Lee Jones, which was just the... I mean, if you want to cringe, just go to YouTube and type in awkward interview with Tommy Lee Jones. It will...
Okay.
He's
promoting that, Oscar. Do you see that?
Like
boys,
it.
In the room, did you see how he did that?
Yeah.
Do you see how he promoted that right now online?
Strong.
Go
wow.
to that. That's strong. We have to send you on your way because you have to go back over to Fox 5.
Whatever you want me to do.
I want you to stay. I'll come back. I've got 500 more questions. I really want to talk more about movies.
Deal.
So if you want to stay,
love
stay.
A little bit longer, right. Yeah.
Very cool. We'll take a break, and we will talk to BDK, Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5, right after this. Everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment of our program brought to you by Blinds.com. Check that. It's brought to you by Cameron Hughes, good wine friends.
Of course.
Yes. We're talking about beautiful wines. I enjoyed them this weekend again, like I always do. And what they do, Cameron Hughes finds premium vineyards that have a little extra of their best wines. Then they buy those extra bottles and sell the exceptional wines right to you for 40 to 80% off. That is why you can get a wonderful $100 bottle of wine, and you can get it for $20, $30, sometimes $15, depending on what they're doing over at chwine.com. I recently drank lot number 502. That is a cab from Napa. I love this. Everyone loved it, and that's why it's sold out, people. Well, they get limited editions of
these. I know. It's
sad,
though.
And they were sold out except for a small reserve just for our listeners. Use the code TMOS. You'll get exclusive access to this premium wine. I love Cameron Hughes. I tell everybody about it, and everybody's enjoying it that tries it. This week only, you can get this extraordinary cab for 20% off. That's right, 20% off lot 502, my new favorite, and free shipping. All you need is the TMOS code. Here's the only way to get this reserve sold-out cab at 20% off plus free shipping. Visit chwine.com. Click on the microphone in the upper left and enter TMOS. That's chwine.com. Click the mic and enter TMOS. You will need to try this wine. Quantities are limited, and the offer ends this Friday. You'll thank me later. chwine.com. We're here from Fox. We've got Kevin McCarthy, BDK from the Junkies. You guys know him. You love him. He's worked with us in the past, and now he's a big-time movie reviewer. And Rob, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I had a question. Is that what was Tommy Lee Jones promoting when it was so awkward?
Men in Black 3.
Oh, and so he probably was not all that enthusiastic with the project.
My theory on Tommy Lee Jones, and this was, I'll never forget this, because it was the day I got there, the guy, the person who's working the floor or whatever, said this is your graduation day, because apparently he's known.
Oh, boy.
Like, from what I've seen online, I think he's known for giving very bad interviews, just in the sense.
His reputation,
I feel like personally it's on purpose, just to mess with the reporter. I feel like he just likes to watch us squirm around. I apologize for all the name dropping. It's just part of the job, like what I'm doing. But like,
that's what you do. You talk to celebrities.
I don't mean to sound like
you're fine.
Like, it's like just
normalcy. It's really pissing me off.
It's not normalcy. But I just interviewed Will Smith for the film, and I walk out of the room. I'm on a high. He's incredibly nice. He's one of the few guys who gets up, stands up, shakes your hand, and uses your name throughout the interview. Mm. Now, whether or not that's just him putting on an act, that's fine, whatever. But it's someone
it's
like
politeness. It doesn't matter if it's an act. It's polite.
Him and Tom Cruise are the best at that. Like they literally make you feel like you're the only person who's important for that 4 minutes.
Cool.
And that's all you get is it's four
Gift.
Minutes. So then you walk into Tommy Lee Jones's room and it's just like You got to watch it. It's so awkward. It's just, every answer is like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It was just really bad. It was very, very painful. I put the whole thing online just to show how awkward it was, because I think my station at Fox 5 actually cut together just his answers in a string. And it was, I don't even think that he actually finished a full sentence for the full 4 minutes.
Because when you sit down with him for 4 minutes, all you really need from him is one 12-second sentence, right? Just to make it work.
I don't think
I'm stunned.
He might have given me that.
That in 4 minutes that he would do that. I mean, because, you know, I'm used to it doing radio interviews with people. We've had the people, you know, I've got 15, 20, half an hour with people, and I need to get that mileage. But 4 minutes, you got to be really taking the trip to Prickdom if you're not going to say anything about it.
He gave me one answer, I think. That was it.
How often, you know, when you get these guys, you're a movie geek. You're a self-proclaimed movie geek. So you know all their body of work. That's all you do. You are legitimately enthusiastic. How much... prep do you go, and how do you prepare for your interview?
Oh, it's a ton of prep.
Good question.
Like, basically, I'll watch the film. So I watch the film. I try to do it this way. I watch the film twice. I watch it once as an interviewer and once as a reviewer. If that makes sense. So, for example, I just saw Avengers, and I watched it as an interviewer, and I'm going to see it again tomorrow night as a reviewer. So that way, I
totally get that. That's fascinating.
It's two
I like that
ways to look at it, because, like, as an interviewer, I'm writing down. You know, my specific style of interviewing is focused primarily on how things are shot, like the technical side of things, how things are done. You know, when a director directs himself, does he yell cut? Does he yell action? How did that special effect shot look? You know, it depends on who I'm talking to, but I always like to talk about how they shot things. And that tends to get a good response. But yeah, I write down specific moments and scenes that I liked and disliked or whatever, and then I ask them specifically about that. What I try to do, since I'm working in television, is I try to find the trailer, because when I'm interviewing for an audience who hasn't seen the movie yet, they need a visual of what I'm talking about. So when before I came here today, I was cutting my interview with Mark Ruffalo and Scarlett Johansson for Avengers, and I'm specifically talking about a moment where Scarlett Johansson drops out of an airplane in a motorcycle and rides along the road. How did she do that shot? You know, it's mostly CGI. She was pregnant at the time, so they had to CGI her belly out and stuff like that. But I had to give the viewer that visual.
No, it's okay, Mike, that she rode a motorcycle out of a plane. But I
no,
want
she
you
didn't
to know.
Do it.
But the CGI is the fact that she's skinny.
Well, you know, I'm gonna give BDK a compliment here. I'll be really honest with you. I didn't give a tremendous amount of thought to what I think we were gonna, you know, take a trip down memory lane, ask you about movies. I think because you do so many interviews that you are a good interview. I mean, listening to you, it's not the same old stuff. That's
absolutely
a great, great insight for anybody that might want to someday do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And when I hear that you're putting that kind of effort into what you do, it makes more sense to me. You're not just the goofy guy that had the over-exuberant personality, and that's why everybody loved you. You actually do take the time to put into these movies, and I think that's pretty cool. And I'm not going to blow any more smoke up your ass than that.
One thing I do want to say is I'll go into an interview with an agenda sometimes. For example, I booked a rare interview the other day with Mr. Al Pacino, which I was like blown away by. I got this email that he was doing limited press. I've never talked to him in the 10 years I've been doing this.
Who's the guy with the skinny top?
By the way, I do. All right. Don't let me leave here without mentioning Patton Oswalt, because I want to talk about what happened with Mike O'Mara with that whole situation when I sat down with him for a movie.
Okay.
I want to bring that up. But anyways, so Al Pacino, I knew that there's a question I've always wanted to know is when an actor does cocaine in a movie, what are they really snorting up their nose? Because, you know, and I had,
great question.
I interviewed, it was Leonardo DiCaprio for The Wolf of Wall Street, and I asked him the same question, and he said it was crushed up B vitamins. But I wanted to know what.
Wow.
But I wanted to know
he
what.
He left that set so healthy.
Right. Exactly. But I wanted to know what. Of course, what Pacino was snorting in Scarface in the 80s. Like, what the heck was that? So,
you asked that question?
Well, that's what I did. So what I ended up doing was, I already knew I wanted to ask that question, so I had to find some kind of bridge to get there. So probably the movie he was promoting was a movie called Danny Collins. He plays a musician who gets a letter from John Lennon.
Like a few weeks old, right?
It's a great film.
Right.
And so in the movie, thankfully, there's a moment where he does cocaine. So that was my
Thank
bridge.
God.
So I know. So I was
the
able
whole
to
time. That's your question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love Because that's different.
That was the
and
bridge.
That's what's going to separate you and make people watch. But so that, did you get the answer?
Yeah, that was the bridge. So basically, he told me it was a. He actually told me it was a bunch of different things, but that his nose was still so messed up from all the fake cocaine he did in Scarface that he has a breathing problem with the top of his nose that he still can't breathe correctly through his nose because of the fake cocaine he did in Scarface.
Oh,
and that,
my
and that
God.
He was actually getting high off the fake stuff. Like, it was making him feel, like, woozy. And then eventually what I did was I bridged that, and a friend of mine had told me that he was singing throughout the day, because in the movie he was singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to the junket, I'm getting makeup on, because they put makeup on because it's HDTV, and if you don't do it, you look like crap. and basically, I go into the room, and my friend was sitting there, and she's like, yeah, he's singing. He just sang the Star Spangled Banner in my interview. I'm like, I wonder if he would possibly sing some of his most famous dialogue lines from some of his movies. So I walk in the room and I throw out to him, you know, hey, you know, singing is an interesting thing. What if you were to sing, like, say hello to my little friend from Scarface? it's funny because he dodges the question. If you watch the video, he literally dodges the question. He doesn't want to answer it. He's like, you know, he answers it in a different way. He goes, well, singing and dialogue is different. If I sing that dialogue, it sounds like this. It doesn't sound right. And then right at the end of it, I go, come on, but what would that sound like if you did that? And he goes, oh, you're going to try to get me to do that? I go, I'll do it for you. And he actually starts playing a fake piano, and he starts singing, say hello to my little friend. And the whole room is freaking out. Now, one thing I've always wanted to do, and if I walk into a room with a big star like that, like a Pacino or a De Niro, or I always have things that I've always wanted to know, and I always wanted to ask these people. For example, one of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called Heat. And and there's a scene in Heat where De Niro and Pacino meet at a diner, and they have a conversation about how they're basically going to kill each other if they catch each other off guard. So I've always wanted to know, because if you watch the scene closely, Michael Mann never shows an establishing shot of the two actors in the same scene. So you never see a shot of the two faces together.
That's and you're getting into serious geekdom here.
I know,
what he's talking about, when you're talking about an establishing shot, because I like to make it simple for everybody, you don't see that they're doing cutaways where they're close-ups.
Correct. They're
both going
over
back
the
and
shoulder.
Forth. You don't see them together.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you see two men, but you never see the two faces in the same shot. I always wanted to know why Michael Mann, the director, never chose to do that. So my bridge to get to ask that to De Niro was, I've been collecting my movie ticket stubs since I was about 11 years old. So I found my Heat stub from 95, and I walk in the room, and I hand De Niro the Heat stub. And I think he was so flabbergasted that he asks Michelle Pfeiffer to borrow a pen. And he takes the pen and starts signing it. I never really asked for an autograph in the interview, but he signed it on himself. He said, good luck, whatever you do. And that was my way to say, by the way, there's a huge conspiracy out there. Everyone says that you and Pacino were never in that scene together. Because if you think about it.
You sneaky little bastard. That's how you wanted to ask that question. So you brought the Heat ticket
right, because
stuff.
Why That's else? Awesome. How else do I bring up Heat in a movie he's promoting for something else? So basically, you know, if you remember correctly, in Godfather Part 2, they were in the same movie, but they were never in the same scene because they were in two different decades.
Right.
Like, they were, like, you know, early 1900s and whatever it was. So that was the way to do that. And then I did the same thing with the director when I got to explicitly say to this guy, why did you never show an establishing shot?
Were they in the same room?
They were in the same room, and here's what they did. So not to get too geeky, but they had three cameras, and one was directly on both of them, but he decided to never show it because he thought that if you broke the edit and showed them twice, it would lower the intensity by 15%. He had it mathematically figured out in his head.
Wow.
So so you watch the scene really closely, the camera gets closer and closer to their faces as if they're battling each other with dialogue. And that's kind of like the idea.
Wow.
Cool. That is that's fun for film students out there. That's a neat thing.
But my job, what's hard for me, though.
All right, let's ask a question. I mean, seriously. I feel like you've done cocaine right now. All right, hold on just a second.
I'm drinking Starbucks.
I understand. Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, when you come up with a question, you know, there's the same 20 questions that every actor has been asked their entire life. When you come up with something like the cocaine question.
That sounded rough right there.
Forgive me.
Are you okay, Rob?
I'm fine, Mike. This might be the last show. But I think it's going well, so we'll go out on a high note. Okay. But like when you ask the cocaine question, a question that he's probably never been asked before, is there a recognition or a spark you see in the subject's eye that you feel you've elevated yourself to the next level because you've really got to act fast and smart to separate
do they
yourself
dig it?
In
do they
4 minutes?
Do you see that shine in their face?
Do they dig it? And you recognize that?
Well, yeah. I mean, specifically – Yeah, and I'm not going to forget this because I started doing press junkets and I start off in radio. So in radio, like you said, Mike, you have 20-minute interviews on radio. You can get into whatever you want, but right. Here you have 4 minutes. So I would spend 20 minutes with like Kevin Smith or whatever, geeking out about their previous work, asking those kind of questions. But within this four-minute realm, yes, they're getting asked the same questions over and over again. And, you know, a buddy of mine who was doing press junkets at the time as well, like we would specifically talk about how to get these actors out of their like the same answer, routine. These rehearsed answers. Mm. And the majority of the answers that they give are that way. So you have to find a way to get them out of that box. So I specifically look for that. I mean, the problem is, and I was trying to mention this earlier, is selling it to my audience at Fox.
Exactly.
And making them interested in what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. So if I go back to the station, like Mike had to explain what the establishing shot was, I have to basically kind of find a way to make it interesting for the viewers at home.
Explain to them why they should find it interesting.
Exactly.
Right.
And my favorite thing in the world is when somebody will tweet me later on and go, I just watched this movie. I saw the shot you were talking about. That's pretty cool. Or something like that. That's what I hope
That's
for.
Cool.
That's
cool.
That is really, I mean, I had no idea we'd be talking about your process this much. I'm fascinated by it because, you know, I love studying interviews. That's kind of where, you know, something that gets me going. I'd love to have you come back sometime.
I'd love to.
And really, can we really talk about movies?
Yeah,
and
can I mention the Patton Oswalt thing real quick?
I was going to remind
you.
Yeah, go
ahead.
Please.
Okay, yeah, we got some time. You're the guy that's got to go back to work.
Yeah.
So you go ahead.
Basically, I was at a press junket for a movie called Young Adult. And Charlize Theron was in that movie. Jason Reitman directed it. And Patton Oswalt was doing press for it. And I walk in the room. And Mike, you've seen this video. I sent this video to you.
Yeah, you were very nice
YouTube
to send this
video.
To me. Yep.
And Patton Oswalt, who's been on the show multiple times. I think he was in studio on back in the 10800 Main Street days at one point.
Yeah,
yeah. He paneled with us for a whole
he's a
show.
Huge
one day.
Star now. I mean,
right
like,
here
guys,
on the podcast.
He's from Maryland, right? He's from
Sterling. Absolutely. Yeah, and he's actually
Sterling, Virginia. That's right.
He's on Veep this season. I turned on Veep and I was
he's
surprised
killing.
To see him. In
he's
that.
A
great
he's
guy,
genius.
great friend of the show.
Genius. If you want to read his Twitter feeds, so I walk in the room and I just mentioned I'm from DC, and he brought up Mike O'Mara and talk about how he was like the best impressionist he'd ever seen, and he was talking about the impressions and the video, which again is on YouTube as well. If you want to tweet it out on your Twitter account, it's on there. But it's just a great video of a guy talking about Mike O'Mara randomly in the middle of an interview. We spent literally 2 minutes of the interview out of the 4 minutes talking about Mike, which was
cool.
That's
cool.
It's a mutual admiration society. I love Patton. I think Patton's one of the best stand-ups working today.
And to get that from him, who's like super
A-lister.
Like famous, a big guy to remember.
Absolutely.
Like you remember his roots, you remember who he was back before he was like big and famous. So pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
That's great. Cool. You know what? I really, really loved hearing about how you do it and what you do. You take it very seriously. And I think I'm going to watch you on Fox and Friends and
all
the other guys.
Look
I think
at that.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, give Fox and Friends a chance. It's a great show. It really is.
Do you do, in the realm of podcasting, do you have a landing spot for a podcast? Everybody's doing a podcast now. Okay?
I have a Nerd Tears podcast. It's
Nerd Tears podcast.
Yeah.
Oscar, talk to him. I want to get that on the network.
Right now, it's on some Geek Nation website. So.
Can you mention your website and your Twitter feed?
Yeah, nerdtears.com, @KevinMcCarthyTV on Twitter, and I'll tweet out that link if you want to see if you want to watch awkwardness of Tommy Lee Jones, you can check that out. It'll make you feel
better. We are all extremely proud of you.
Thanks, Mike.
I have to get you back sooner than later because I really want to talk movies.
We got to talk about everything, man. We haven't geeked out in a long time.
We haven't done that. Congratulations on all your success. And you've been super nice to us whenever we've been over to Fox 5. And continued success. And please don't be a stranger. You're right down the street. So come back and visit us. Okay?
Sounds good, Mike. Tell Carla and the babies and the baby I said hi.
I will. Absolutely. That's Kevin McCarthy, everybody. That was a lot of fun. Rob?
Yes.
Have you changed? Now, look at how nice he was.
God damn it, he was great.
All right, very good.
I always knew it was a bit, so it's fine. It's all good.
We'll come back with the news you may not need. Thanks, Kevin. Have a wonderful day, and we will be back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show right after this.
Tony and Gary.
Hey, I'm Tony Perkins.
Hey, I'm his little friend.
This week on the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein, that's who that is, Mickey Ward, the famous boxer.
Fabulous. Love Mickey Ward. Ward Gotti fights, the best ever.
Yeah. He's going to tell us all about him this week on the Tony Perkins Show. Subscribe on iTunes.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Just talking to my wife about it this morning. We're going up to Maine, and we're going to do some repairs on the family house up in Maine. And the fact is, we need blinds.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, one of the things about summertime up in Maine, the sun rises at about 2 o'clock in the morning up there.
Yeah, it does.
And,
it really
Mrs.
does.
Mrs. O'Mara likes an occasional nap. So if you've been staring at your old shades and curtains all winter long, no amount of spring cleaning can improve that view. How about Blinds.com? Really an incredible company.
Yeah.
Not only are their prices fantastic, but their customer service is just about one of the best I have ever dealt with, and I am not overstating that. I installed my own shutters. I used their service to get one of their guys to come out and install my blinds, and they were both perfect. And their SureFit guarantee means that installation will always be perfect, even if you measure wrong. Blinds.com will even set you up with a pro just like they did with me. Listen to this. Hurry over to Blinds.com where you'll find great discounts all April long with your favorite brands and upgrades on sale. You got to see the value that's waiting for you. As always, get free color samples, free shipping, and free expert decorator advice, plus prices that crush store prices. Best of all, customer service that will genuinely make you smile. These guys love their job, and you'll love them right back, ladies and gentlemen. I mean that. Blinds.com, as seen in Mike O'Mara's kitchen. Thank you very much.
News.
Well, we had so much fun with Kevin McCarthy that I promise you we will break down the Bruce Jenner interview on tomorrow's show because I really think we need to talk about it.
Yeah.
I have to give you my mea culpa on that because I was wrong. And
we
I'm
both
here to
were.
Tell you I was wrong.
We both were.
Diane Sawyer's exclusive interview with Bruce Jenner delivered huge ratings for ABC. Here's the total. 16.9 million viewers turned in to watch the former Olympian confirm that he identifies as a woman. Perhaps even more impressive, Bruce Jenner, the interview, scored a 5.2 rating among adults 18 to 49. That's about four times as large as 2020's typical performance.
Wow.
The two-hour, much-anticipated special easily dominated the night. In fact, this was the biggest Friday night episode of 2020 in more than 15 years and the highest rated non-sports telecast on Friday night since 2003. And here's just briefly, I'll tell you what I love about it.
Okay.
Everybody, and I posted this on Facebook over the weekend, everybody tuned in to watch a curiosity. And everybody left getting an education. I know I did.
I agree.
I know I was just waiting to go, okay, let's see the weirdom. And then riveting. And I give full credit to Diane Sawyer. And I believe me, I have slammed Diane Sawyer in the past for being too soft in these interviews. Bruce Jenner, his comfort level. I mentioned this also. I think he saved lives by doing this. There are many, many people, young people especially, transgender people out there that are so conflicted and going through hell that I think this hopefully gives them some backing to come out and let people know that they've got this issue.
When's the last time you watched anything on television and you walked away from it saying, I think that did some good? Because that's the way I felt at the end of it.
So true.
Completely surprised. Absolutely blown away, surprised by it. And that's a nice feeling once in a while, especially with the little box, which doesn't surprise us very often anymore. During the special, Jenner declared, my brain is much more female than male. For all intents and purposes, I am a woman. And I just was completely surprised by the content of the interview, and I'll be keeping tabs on that. He's done a lot, I think, to help people in that community.
Oh, sure. I do.
Gets credit for that. The White House Correspondents' Dinner was Saturday in Washington. The highlights included President Obama bringing up Keegan-Michael Key to do his anger translator bit. That got a lot of play. The overall presentation by President Obama was, in my opinion, one of the edgier ones that I've seen in years from a president.
I agree.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You see that and you say, man, this was edgy, pretty well written, not super scary funny, but it had some good moments in it, and people will say, well, if he'd spent as much time running the country, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you do.
thanks, Obama.
Rob did not like Cicely Strong. I thought she was okay. I'm such a fan of hers.
Well, I think
you didn't like her.
She was okay. I thought next time, honey, wear sleeves. You could have looked better up there. You're one of the best looking cast members on Saturday Night Live in
years.
Rough. And you know what? You know, yeah, meow. Meow. But she could have looked a lot better up there. Her material was good. I didn't think
Her joke of the night says, let's give it up for the Secret Service. They're the only law enforcement agency that will get in trouble if a black man gets shot. which is pretty sad. What were you going to say, Oscar?
Well, I just I thought when I was reading reviews and I was watching some videos, I really wish this dinner would become really what it really is. It's just there to entertain. And
yeah, that's true.
They try to keep this like veil of dignity, and we're here yeah. to.
It's a Friars Club roast with different people.
So that's go all out. Well, like, see, bring it on. Yeah. Right?
But that's the thing. Do you know what really ruins the Friars roast is when they started televising them? If you ever hear the old tapes of the real roasts, they were backbreakingly funny because there was no consequence. The problem is this has become a media event, so they have to be careful.
I thought it was interesting that you see all these tech companies now at these events. Like, for example, Twitter had their own setup where they you as a celebrity or a politician, you'd walk in and they'd had your tweet would go out right away. Like, it was it's phenomenal the money that's being plowed into these parties.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I say every year that usually it's just a Circle J for everybody to feel good. It's Hollywood in Washington for a night, and they do that. But kudos to Obama. I think it was I watched the entire speech that he gave. It wasn't a speech, but his routine.
His bit, Mike.
To be honest with you, when he brought Key out, that to me was not as funny as I think it should have been. And it was just, I thought it felt a little forced. But some of the lines, the one-liners from Obama, were pretty funny. So, I've panned that event in the past as a TV event when I watch it. But I actually enjoyed this one. So that's that. Ladies, next time you swipe right on Tinder, you could be giving the thumbs up to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, really?
Hey. Believe it or not. Yes, that's according to a source. Who supposedly talked to Leo at Coachella. He said, quote, Leo confessed that he was using the dating app under the name Leonard.
Leonard DiCaprio.
This is the quote. He said he hasn't been on any dates yet, but he is obsessed with swiping on girls and seeing who's out there. He said there's actually a lot of other celebs who use Tinder just for fun. So I think he's a big enough horn doggy where that story has credibility to me. Why
you know
not?
What? He's not even using his finger to swipe. That's the weird thing.
That's nasty. If you could use some extra cash, the website credit.com posts a list of the best part-time jobs that pay well. Here are the top seven. I'll go from seven to one. Number seven, tutor. Just like Zoolander with Oscar Santana.
I owe my tutor some cash. Zoolander, call me.
Says here, the really good ones, this surprised me, make up to $200 a month.
Yeah?
Wow. That's pretty good
not
stuff.
Not Zoolander. That's not what we negotiated. He's a great tutor.
Yeah, you know what?
Number six.
Daddy's not paying that.
Getting a deal with Julia then. Yeah.
Number six is dog walker, $15 to $75 an hour.
He's our announcer, isn't he? that's dude walker. I'm sorry. Dude walker.
That higher number is if you're walking more than one dog. Five, part-time web designer. Depending on how good you are, you can make anywhere from $20 to $150 an hour as a web designer. Number four, babysitter, $13 to $18 an hour. Number three, office professional, meaning a temp. They can make $20 to $30 an hour, but if you're really good at something like QuickBooks, you can make more.
Oh, yeah.
As a temp. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And now the top two. Number two is bartender. You can make anywhere from $10 to $75 an hour.
If you're at the bar.
If you're at the bar. Isn't that all these skill things? That says all you need to know about America. What's number two is bartender. And the number one is going to make people want to go out and maybe try this.
What's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Uber driver.
Hey, oh, yeah.
How do you think Kevin got here today?
They Uber? Make
between
good
Uber.
Man.
Yeah.
Good
$15 man. And $30 an hour. You need a decent car, though, and you have to pass a background check, which I think is pretty, pretty interesting.
I've jumped in Ubers in the evenings, and the guy and I will just strike up a conversation.
Right.
And some of them are guys going through law school. Other guys have full-time jobs for the government, and they're just trying to make some extra cash. I mean, really, if you don't go out on Friday night and you don't care about drinking and partying and you want to make some cash and you have a nice car, you could double down on your income.
Wow.
You know, and I'm curious about that. The way it works, Oscar, is they get a little cut, the Uber company.
Yeah,
gets a little
cut. 30% and the driver keeps 70.
Okay, that's interesting stuff.
Amazing.
And you pay for your own gas and all that.
You take care of all of that. You take care of your insurance, and really, the guy has his phone, like at least a couple guys. You have a phone on your dashboard. You decide if you want to pick somebody up, and then that's your cash for the day. And then if you want to pick somebody else up, you can do that as well. You can clock out whenever you want.
That's very cool.
Amazing.
I like that. A guy in England named George Kirby proposed to his girlfriend Doreen back in February, and they're getting married in June, which is a pretty short engagement, but it kind of has to be. Doreen is currently 91 years old, and George is 102.
Oh, man.
When they get married on June 13th, they will set a new world record for the oldest newlyweds. George said he popped the question over dinner on Valentine's Day and decided to get down on, not to get down on one knee because he didn't know if he'd be able to get back up again. On their wedding day, they will have a combined age of 194 years and 281 days. That'll smash the current record of 188 years that was set in 2013. The two of them didn't just meet. They've been together for 27 years. That's just the blink of an eye.
Wow.
But they didn't think they'd ever get married, but George finally proposed after his kids kept pressing him to. His 63-year-old son from a previous marriage will be his best man.
Wow. Well, you know what the old joke is? Why did you wait so long to get married? Well, we wanted to wait for the kids to die.
And now a little something-something from my home state, boys.
Yay, Florida.
Fires. Firefighters in Port St. Lucie, Florida, got a call a few weeks ago about a house on fire. When they got there, one of the bedrooms was up in flames. They quickly put it out. The answer, two grown adults acting dumber than little children. 39-year-old Maybritt Canterbury.
Oh, that's a good name.
And her 47-year-old husband live in the house. Apparently, they've been in a massive fight. They kept taking each other's stuff out into the backyard and setting it on fire. Eventually, Maybritt skipped that last step and just lit up her husband's clothes in the closet, which is what caused the house fire. She was arrested for arson, and I just wonder if she's hot.
Oh,
get
no.
it?
Thank you.
You think they still carry a torch for each other?
Stop.
Thank you very much. They might just be old flames.
Stop.
Thank you. I'm burning, burning, burning for you. Come on, baby, light my fire. It was the heat of the moment. All those jokes. Thank you very much. We'll
nice.
Take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Listen to O'Maracast and get caught up on all the shows of more broadcasting, like this clip from the Rob and Joe Show.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary.
Subscribe on iTunes or download it from MikeOmaraShow.com every Monday right here on the More Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Listen up, small business owners. Listen.
Listen.
Listen up. Thank you. Right now at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 business cards for just $9.99. When you enter promo code TMOS at checkout, that's $9.99 for 500 business cards. Are you listening to me? Hey? It's never been easier or more affordable to make a business card that screams you. And Vistaprint makes it fun and easy. Pick from all sorts of cool industry-specific designs. No matter what you're doing, you'll find it at Vistaprint.com. You can add your info and you're on your way, or you can upload your own artwork, which is what a lot of people like to do, like we do. We've all made our cards at Vistaprint. They always turn out great. And if you want to go all out, upgrade to their signature stock, add a fancy finish, or even do the raised print thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's bone, and the lettering is Cillian Brand. Yeah. Vistaprint also has everything for marketing. They're great at that as well. And remember, if you're not happy, they guarantee to make it right. 500 business cards, $9.99. Never a better time to professionally promote your business. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code TMOS to get this offer. And thank you. Without further ado, let's open up the audio ball for Monday, April 27, 2015. Rob Spiewak.
Let's talk a little Steve Hawking, Mike. Stephen Hawking did not make it to the big press conference at the Sydney Opera House, so they brought him in via satellite to entertain things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there was actually a hologram of him answering questions.
Nice.
And the final question of the day, and it was sort of lighthearted, and I don't know how they thought he would respond to it. They said, Professor Hawking, with Zayn leaving One Direction, how is that going to affect the cosmology of our universe? And what's great is how he answered. This is the actual answer he gave.
Finally, a question about something important.
That's awesome.
My advice to any heartbroken young girl is to pay close attention to the study of theoretical physics. Because one day, there may well be proof of multiple universes. It would not then be beyond the realms of possibility that somewhere outside of our own universe lies another different universe. And in that universe, Zayn is still in One Direction.
He also said it's possible in that other universe that the girl could be married to Zane. So it's very important to keep our young kids focused on modern physics so they can do
I
that.
I love that.
But I love the fact. It's, you know, you don't think that the man has a sense of humor, but obviously he does. Very great.
Now, they pre-do those, right, where he gets to decipher them and then he writes them because he can't do that on the off the cuff.
Yeah,
right?
he can't he's got a the computer's got a process.
Rob, exactly. you did
you
know that,
you are such
right?
a mallet head. He thought he was just talking and that's how
did
it
you
happened.
Do you think that he could, like, type that fast and prepare
Mike,
that
Mike, he can't
material?
Type because he's handicapped.
Yes. Oh, my God. This is terrible.
I mean, he can answer the questions,
yes,
but it
he
takes
the questions.
That's
takes
what
longer.
I'm saying. Can they we focus submitted. On the audio, please?
Okay, sorry, please. Sorry. That's you just seem, you really seem crestfallen when I said that. You know, it's not like he's up on stage and presses a button and does that.
Well, you know, I have so many disappointments. Life is built on them.
I know. You're reeling after BDK, so I'm sorry.
Just wanted him to do so badly.
I know.
The Foo Fighters are playing a big concert in D.C. on July 4th.
July 4th.
And there, you know, Dave Grohl has his roots in the Washington, D.C. area. They released a very funny video. You can watch the entire video. But the part I want to play was the front of it where a guy in a Baltimore Orioles hat is just talking on the phone. This is a real Foo Fighters produced video.
Hey, hon, how's it going? Are you still at the Road Dogs reunion? My sister got box seats for the O's game on Thursday. No, why don't you understand? No, Soul Asylum's playing on Tuesday down the ocean. We're going to get some jumbos and then see them play at the Ball in Cork. Just come to the O's game with me. No, we're going down the ocean on Tuesday. Oh, wait, hold on.
And what happens is then they go, like the guys watching TV, and they show that great clip of Jim Vance and George Michael laughing at the model falling down. And then they say, we'll miss you, Jim Vance. Foo Fighters are at the stadium, I'm sorry, at FedEx Field on, or is it RFK where he's
It's
playing?
RFK.
RFK
when
on July 4th.
When does Vance leave? When is Vance's last day?
Vance will
like
actually...
Mid-May or
mid-May,
something?
Mid-May, but he's going to keep on the 5 o'clock. He's only leaving the 11 o'clock.
Okay,
so he's just
let's see if we can get Mr. Vance.
I have reached out to Jim Vance, and so hopefully we'll hear back from him soon.
Very
good.
Okay.
But anyway, I thought that was great that there's a Baltimore accent and a tribute to Jim Vance
so
from
cool.
the Foo Fighters.
Down the ocean, hon.
Yeah, we're going to get some jumbos at the Baltimore Court. And Mike, I don't know if you saw this video. They finally caught that coyote that's been running around Manhattan. Did you see the video of the coyote running around Manhattan?
But I think it's like four steps ahead that you're going to play a cartoon.
I actually have audio of the coyote that they caught in Manhattan.
Okay, let's hear the audio of the coyote.
This is the surveillance audio, okay?
All right, very good.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Wile E. Coyote. Genius. I am not selling anything, nor am I working my way through college.
Luckily, they were able to release him to nature, and all is well. The coyote is no longer in Manhattan. That is your magic audio vault.
Nice.
Hi, Kevin. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Buddy, get us out of here. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with our show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth to get listeners, to get bonus show subscriptions, to shop our Amazon page, all that good stuff. Remember, promote TMOS by your mouthy mouth and make sure people get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying thank you, BDK, Kevin McCarthy.
Yay.
And join us again tomorrow for another show on The Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website, always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.